Hello, and welcome back to another Thursday night of Blue Sierra's Telehealth Radio. I'm Michelle Hager, managing partner of Blue Sierra's Consulting in South Carolina. And tonight I'm excited to have two guests. First one is Karen Dexter, or together they will be Karen Dexter, who is the Director of Clinical Risk and Compliance at Telemind. And the second is a familiar voice to us, which is Debbie Boyles, one of our senior consultants here at Blue Sierra's Consulting. We are happy to have them both here tonight. Welcome to Karen and Debbie.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for being here. And as you know, we talk about healthcare and telehealth a lot on this show. We work hard to try to educate folks on what's happening and the latest and greatest in the industry. And tonight we're going to be talking about accreditation and why an organization might want to be accredited. And Telemind, you just went through, and I think it's not premature to say congratulations. You just went through the URAC accreditation, and you will very shortly, or if you haven't already, received your official notification that you've completed that accreditation. So congratulations to you.
Thank you so much, Michelle. We actually just received it yesterday.
Ah, timely,
Yep,
timely.
very timely.
Very good, very good. Well, congratulations. So tell our audience about Telemind and the kinds of services that you provide.
Sure. So Telemind is a telehealth provider of behavioral health services. We are nationwide. We provide services in all 50 states. Our range of mental health services include therapy and medication management services. We have clinicians in all the states, and we have access to medication management as well with our nurse practitioner and MD network.
So you are providing care both from a therapy perspective online, so a teletherapy, so like you would be on a Zoom call, for example, and virtual visit.
Yes, it's all behavioral health via telehealth. So it all is on your device. It's on your computer. Some people use the platform via their phone, whatever's most convenient to them. And it's from the comfort of their own home, or some people sit in their car. Some people sit where they have some private space, but it's really meant to be user-friendly and to really help folks, in particular in those states where getting to treatment, transportation may be a barrier, access to after-hour services might be a barrier. So this behavioral health platform allows for all those kind of off hours and works around those kind of transportation barriers.
Absolutely, which is great because I know from our own work that we've worked with many people that and talked with many people that are getting behavioral health services and service providers that the transportation challenge is there, rural or urban, because you have a lot of working moms that still need treatment, need therapy, need a variety of different services. So thanks so much for the work that you guys are doing at Telemind. It's important work. You did just complete that accreditation. So tell us why that was important to you in Telemind.
It has always been one of our top priorities. We've been talking about it for a long time. We knew we needed to really work on it. We started the process, I think, about a year and a half ago. We started the process. We knew we were ready. We had a lot of really good policies and procedures in place, and we really wanted the opportunity to get them organized, get them reviewed by an accreditation body. And kind of get that stamp of approval on the good work that we've been doing. So we just kind of jumped in and moved forward and worked towards the accreditation that we just received yesterday. And just kind of to add, our primary population is the military population. Our primary, we take TRICARE for active duty spouses, family members, that. And we really wanted to get this seal of approval to really show, in particular, the military members, we take their behavioral health seriously and want to provide behavioral health care that's high quality, that meets their needs. And by having it nationwide, we can accommodate their moves or their transition to different bases and that sort of thing.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I was going to ask if this is also open to military families as well. And that's great. And I think what you're pointing out is that there's an ability to keep a continuity of care regardless of whether or not the military family has been asked to move and relocate, as often happens, and they can continue to have services with their same therapist or the same services with their behavioral health provider, regardless of who they are, within Telemind, which is a great benefit to the military and their military families.
They can definitely stay with us, and we make every effort to keep the providers the same if the licenses line up with the new states. Yep.
Yep. The dreaded provider licensure
issue. Provider license. Yep.
We have talked about that many times on this show, the challenges state to state around provider licensure. So tell us a little bit about what you found surprising, what you found good, what you found bad necessary, maybe about, or maybe bad's not the right word, what you found as a challenge in the URAC accreditation process, but would apply to really any accreditation process.
Sure. I think we knew it was going to be, I'm trying to think of the appropriate, we knew it was going to be a lot. We knew there was going to be a lot of documents to submit. There was going to be a lot of policies and procedures to review. I think the level of the comprehensive nature of the review was actually very impressive. It made us feel like, wow, like they really looked at our work. They looked at our product. They looked at the quality of care, and really read through our policies and how we're providing services, and that the sort of rigor that they applied in the review was really great to see.
Which is important. I think that's the whole purpose, really, of doing an accreditation, that you're able to, as an organization, go through that rigor. And I know prior to even starting the accreditation, you had done the HITRUST certification as well.
Yes.
So that was already part of the culture of your organization to get these sort of, as you said, stamps of approval or seals of approval. And subjecting the organization to this level of scrutiny to say, tell us, take a look, see what's under the covers and see what we have there. So what kind of a process did you, Debbie, you and Karen go through, and what made it successful from your perspective, kind of behind the scenes? What did you do? What was the process itself? And maybe, Debbie, you can start.
Sure. Working with Karen and her team was just outstanding. We developed a playbook that we kind of followed, walking through each one of the steps from the URAC process. And we really sat down and decided, what policies needed to go into which categories. And again, developed that playbook. And it was a back and forth review and policies, making sure we know which ones fit within which category as we work that plan. And so there was a lot of hours and a lot of back and forth and revisions, and to make sure that we were meeting what URAC standards were, and that we could, as they went through the validation process, that information was all there in the format that URAC wanted.
I think that's important. And Karen, from your side, what did you feel like was the differentiator, the thing that sort of helped you get over the edge?
I think given that this was our first time going through the process, having Debbie available as a resource, her knowledge of the process was really invaluable, and really she was able to partner with us and see the big picture, see all the work that we've been doing, help us organize it in a way, pull it together to make sure we were taking the work that existed and the procedures we were following and really pulling it together in a way that could be presented to URAC, that made sense for them, that lined up with their standards. Because, some of the things you do meet 6 standards. So it's really just sort of figuring out what fits in what bucket. And Debbie's knowledge of the process was very, very helpful in taking, pulling that all together.
And I think from behind the scenes, what I was noticing is there was really, like, I'm not going to call it 3 sections because that might make it too simplified, but it really was your kind of internal review of your own documentation. And then what I saw was then you were subjecting it to their review. And then it seems like there was a kind of final desktop review where they really brought things together. Was there anything significant in any of those processes that you felt like you would give advice to other people about?
I mean, I think for anyone going through the process for the first time, kind of embrace the unknown a little bit. I mean, I think we entered the process at the same time URAC might have been going through some changes of their own. So we were learning their expectations as they were learning what their process was going to be in some ways. And so some, you know, patience, asking questions, being okay with some clarity, some things unclear, and then kind of figured out at the end. And then kind of that desktop review just really brought everything together. And it was a really nice way to showcase, I think, for the reviewers live, you know, in person, although it was virtual, but live in person, to be able to have them meet other staff, because I had been really the face of the process, really get them to see the real work behind the scenes. So if you can kind of stay patient, work through the steps, having, like I said, Debbie as a resource and helping us really identify too, like, no, you guys are doing it. We're gonna do this and get it over here, was just really instrumental to sort of the success of the project and collaborating all of our internal work and pulling it all together.
That's great to hear. Of course, as the managing partner of Lucirus, I'm happy to hear that from my client. Debbie always does such a great job, so definitely. And one of the things that I think was interesting is for folks to know this, that they did want to speak to your staff. They did want to talk directly to you, to your staff members, to know, you know, what you wrote here. Is that really what you're doing? And Debbie, when you think about the advice, given the level of rigor, what advice would you give to folks that are starting off, or would it be the same or different from what Karen is describing?
No, I think Karen was spot on. You know, from the time that we started, they had a lot of the policies and procedures in place. And as Karen mentioned before, they might have one policy that met three different standards, and it was how you pulled it all together to make sure that you were pointing out in each one of those standards the specific language and processes that were in place right now, so that they knew exactly where that standard was met within a policy. And so there was a lot of work and effort going back and forth to mulling through all of those policies and procedures to make sure that you had it lined up with what URAC was looking for. And as far as a recommendation, you know, I think that being able to ebb and flow through that process is key. And then really being able to understand that you might not have one policy that meets an exact standard, so you may have to either change a policy, adjust it, or create a new policy to make sure that you are capturing all of the standard requirements that you would be looking for. And then put it in a format that you and I as normal individuals could understand, so that they can go through that process. And if anybody came in and wanted to see that later, they would know exactly what kind of services, what their standards were from a telemine standpoint, and that you could point out directly to, this is the policy that meets that standard.
Good point. And I think that now that you've completed this process, I think the standards and the accreditation process lasts, I think, 3 years. So you've got some time before you have to repeat this whole thing again, or at least get a review in. I don't think it's quite as rigorous when you do the second time through. But the standards do change. We know that. We know URAC is adjusting their standards today for the next version of that, which is a good thing for an accreditation organization to do. And there are accrediting bodies that are not just URAC that do this as well. but when you think about your next steps, when you look at where telemine is going And as you mentioned, this was important to you, Karen, and the organization to be able to show to military families, to the military themselves and any of the armed forces, as well as your probably your staff and your organization, to say this is important to us that we do this. What's kind of next? What's kind of next for Telemind?
We have a lot of exciting developments coming. We're continuing to grow our network. We are working to expand the services that we offer to a wider range of individuals. You know, our mission is really to make sure everyone who wants to access mental health care can. There shouldn't be any barriers. So we're really looking at the individual states. We're looking to see if we're missing anything and really looking to expand our programming. You know, our focus is constantly looking at the patient and provider experience. We want our providers to have a good experience, and we want our clients to really have a very good start to finish experience. And if they don't finish and they stay with us for a really long time, that's great too. Whatever the individual needs for care. We're working to always improve our technology so the services are delivered with the most cutting edge technology that we can provide. We're just continue to grow, and our mission is always excellence, 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 excellence. So that's where we're going.
I think it's super important. It's important for folks to know that you're out there. The behavioral health services are so in demand, and there's such a shortage of them. I think not only, you know, obviously with your focus in the armed forces space, but in addition, and other, you know, VA services, obviously, but also just in civilian spaces, the level of shortage that we have with behavioral health providers makes it really difficult for folks to be able to access these services. And as you noted earlier in this interview, transportation can be a challenge, and just time scales. You know, I can't necessarily stop in the middle of everyone can't stop in the work in the middle of their work day and let's go drive to our behavioral health, you know, center and have an hour session with someone and then drive home. That could be half a day's work gone. That could be, you know, loss of childcare or having to get childcare during that time. So right. Knowing that organizations like Telemind are out there that can provide this kind of virtual service is so important, especially post-pandemic. And for those in the military, I think everyone is experiencing, you know, more behavioral health and mental health services. So we would encourage anyone to contact Telemind. What is your website that where people can find more information, Karen? Is it telemind.com, TELMYND.com?
Yes. Yes. Please go on our website. You can read about our services and how to submit referral information. It's all right there.
You can also book an appointment on that website. So if you are looking to get behavioral health services, you can do that right on their website. Karen, Debbie, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I appreciate you sharing your knowledge around your accreditation process, and appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Michelle.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sure we'll see you again, Debbie, and you too, Karen, certainly before the 3-year time scale comes up. Thanks for listening to tonight. This is Blue Cirrus Telehealth Radio on WATD 95.9. We are the smartest show on radio.